Broncos coming after Favre. Throws it over the middle, intercepted and trapped. The first championship for John Elway and the Denver franchise.
The crowd goes crazy. Jokic has a triple-double.
Intercepted by Colorado. Dion figures. Colorado has defeated Notre Dame 10-9.
It's gone!
Spanning Colorado sports, college, and pro, it's time for Clar & Company, brought to you by Argonaut, on behalf of the Other Side Academy Addiction Services, with Michael Clar. National, regional, and local voices on Clar & Company are heard on the winnersandwiners.com hotline.
And welcome back. It is our second hour, and it's a big second hour. We will start it off with Bruce Marshall of the Gold Sheet. Talking about the game, Ohio State and Michigan. We'll get to the Broncos in that segment, too. And then at 9:15, college basketball feast week is a crescendo of great holiday-ranked matchups. We'll talk to Sean Keeler, Denver Post, about the college basketball season so far and all the big matchups and what they tell us. At 9:30, our games of the week picks against the spread, including the big game, Michigan, Ohio State, and the Broncos as well. And at 9:45, finish out Rockin' Company's Rockin' CU today at CU versus Utah. And big news there, the new president, the first one since Gordon Gee, seems like he is understanding the importance of athletics, importance, and that changes are afoot up in Boulder. And we'll look at the coaching, the chase for a new coach up there and what that could mean. It's exciting, all brought to you this hour by the Colorado Sun, the award-winning digital news site, independent, locally owned, always nonpartisan. Get the Sunriser every morning. Great heartwarming story on Thanksgiving spirit about Tony Jones, a homeless man who sleeps in his car, called the Keeper of East Colfax, who has fed 80 or more people living on the street in the holidays with his food stamps. He's somebody who is so far surviving a terminal illness. This year, partnering with local businesses, he provided 6 pots of chili for a meal Thursday on a great story by Erica Brunlin. ColoradoSun.com, best part about it, you can just get it for free, and they do a great job there. And good morning, Bruce Marshall from the Gold Sheet.
Good morning, Michael.
Hey, we opened the show with Bill Bender, national college football writer for Sporting News, giving us the injury report. All of Michigan's running backs are available, will play. We don't know how much or how well. Certainly, Mayan Williams will play for Ohio State, but not Trevion Henderson or Njigba Smith, the receiver who's been out most of the year for Ohio State. The big game, once again, it's like a one-game season in the Big Ten. A lot at stake, including college football playoff berths. How do you see this one?
Wow, it is big. Boy, Michael, this brings back memories. I'm glad to see this. It took Michigan a while to get back up to this level. You and I remember in the late 60s, early 70s when this thing was just – I invite anybody to go up to YouTube, watch. You can watch the full game without – I mean, they speed it up. The 73 game was just such a war in Ann Arbor. And Woody and Bo just going at each other on the ground almost the whole way. Ended up 10-10. I thought that was the actual height of the series. And then, of course, the Rose Bowl vote after that, which went to Ohio State. When Michigan State actually voted for Ohio State, that was quite an interesting thing. And from old wounds.
Was that Duffy Daugherty?
Anyway,
who was that?
The history is so good.
Was that Duffy Daugherty? Who was that?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. They were mad at Michigan for trying to block them getting into the Big Ten in the early 50s. So that was their payback to Michigan back in 1973. Anyway, but Ohio State won the Rose Bowl that year over SC, so it worked out well for the Big Ten. I think this is going to be another one right down to the wire. I think the Buckeyes probably pulled this out and avenged that loss from last season, Michael, but it won't be easy. Harbaugh has made a turnaround, and I didn't see this coming. A couple of years ago, when you were talking, Michael, I thought that maybe Harbaugh should be out at Michigan, and they just weren't gaining any traction. But they have become a line of scrimmage team again the last couple of years, and this is like Harbaugh's teams at Stanford, and this is like his 49er teams, and really back to his college days when he was a quarterback for Bo Schembechler, and that's how Michigan used to play. They are a line of scrimmage team again. You mentioned the running backs. You mentioned Corum having the big year that he's having. The quarterbacks, McCarthy, is a functional leader here. And what I like, too, about Michigan, the defense is back up to speed. one of the best in the country, and they are also the sixth least penalized team in the country. They don't beat themselves. So this is going to be a challenge for Ohio State, but they are at the big horseshoe here. They are at home. There is revenge. C.J. Stroud, this is his day to really make the claim on the Heisman. I think he's got to have a good game here today because Caleb Williams is coming up fast. Max Duggan's got a lot of support. So this is it for C.J. Stroud today to really make that big case. He might be able to do it. But Ohio State can score so quickly, and there's the revenge factor here. I think they nose out the Wolverines. I don't know they'll cover the point spread today, though. 31-28 Buckeyes, a classic game that might be a little more high scoring than the old games, but this has actually been an over series with a lot of points scored in recent years. So 31-28 Buckeyes, but the Wolverines stick within that the 7-point number here today.
Yeah, and when I looked early this morning, it had gone from 7.5 to 8 on the sites that I was looking at, Las Vegas Insider and stuff like that. So, yeah, more and more people coming in on the Ohio State side of things. One way or the other, I expect a great game and a close game, like you said. I think that's totally right. Hey, you are, amidst all of your knowledge, encyclopedic, not just the history of sports, as you just recited, but so many sports. You're a soccer guy. So I want to get your handicapping right now of the World Cup. We know that Brazil is a heavy favorite, but Spain and France, England are also inside the 10-1 category.
What I like here is that, actually, I wasn't sure I was going to like this November, December World Cup stuff. But as opposed to playing this at the end of the season, always, and the players are all beaten up, injury's not out. Neymar is hurt right now. He just got hurt the other day for Brazil. Yeah. He'll should be back in the knockout phase. But the players are fresher right now. So I think the quality of play, has been pretty good. Spain really impressed me. I don't know that Costa Rica was much of a challenge, but if you give Busquets that much room in the middle of the pitch, and these are young, experienced players now. It's a young team, but most all these guys played, Pedri and Gavi, and then played at the Euros last year when they got all the way to the semifinals. We'll see if they can beat Germany tomorrow, and I think Spain will. I think Spain's actually their favorite right now, and I think they're going to be moving forward here. And they would be a team I would watch. Brazil may be there as well, even without Neymar. They've got a lot of firepower. U.S. has got a problem here because Iran really stepped up against Wales. Didn't see that coming, but 2-0. They'd be glad a draw would be good enough for Iran probably to get them into the next phase. U.S. has to win that game. I'm not sure they can do it. They lack Alexi Lalas said something good yesterday. U.S. has got a lot of things that work well for U.S., work rate method, they run well, but they don't have a guy who can pick the lock up front. They do not have a world-class striker, anything close to it. And you need that moment of magic in a World Cup. I don't think the U.S. has it up for many of their strikers, and they really haven't ever. And that's what's keeping them from competing, winning something like this or making a really deep run. So I'm not sure U.S. gets out of the first round. They're going to have to win this game against Iran next week to advance.
Yeah, and Pulisic is actually a midfielder. He's the guy everybody talks about, but he's not a forward. He's actually a midfielder, right? So
yeah.
Iran,
absolutely.
You see this all the time in sports in the USA where they arrange the tournament so that rivals somehow play each other in tournaments. This is a bitter political rivalry. These are countries that are at odds against each other in huge ways. So I imagine there's going to be a lot more at stake, and they're playing on the home desert, so to speak, of the Middle Eastern teams. That Saudi Arabia already shocked the world, beating Argentina. So I think that makes it even harder for Iran, even if they're not allies with Qatar.
Yeah, and this happened '98 in the World Cup. Iran took out the U.S. and this is a better U.S. team than '98, but similar circumstance. By the way, the Saudis got beat by Poland here today, 2-0. Robert Lewandowski opens his account for the Polish side here, so keep an eye on Poland. I think they're ready to advance into the next round as well.
Wow. All right. Hey, final topic. You are the long-suffering Broncos fan I know out of town. Yeah, I mean, your whole childhood, your whole life, never lived in Colorado. You've been a Broncos fan, and you've obviously were cautiously optimistic when George Payton came on, then Nathaniel Hackett, and it just hasn't turned out well. What do you see as the fix here?
Wow. You know, actually, I think one guy we've sort of forgotten about is Javonte Williams, and his injury this year, I think, was a lot more impactful than we realized at the time, because he was ready to ascend, I think, into maybe an elite level of NFL runners. And to have that sort of a dimension, which they really haven't had since he got hurt. And Latavius Murray's run okay in recent weeks, but I think they have missed Murray. But that's only a little part of the problem. It's design of the offense. I still maintain that Russ doesn't have receivers getting open enough, and he's got nowhere to throw. Having said that, though, that shouldn't have happened against the Raiders last week, and it should have been made very clear to Russ. And that third down play out of the 2-minute warning with the Raiders not having any timeouts, whatever happens here, the clock has got to run after this play. And the worst thing you can do is stop the clock, because that's 40, 45 seconds you're giving Derek Carr. And that in the NFL, you know, that's another 4 or 5 plays in a 2-minute offense like that. That stuff cannot happen. So I'm wondering, where was the breakdown there? Is that Hackett again not hammering it into him? Is it Rush just not being aware? That cost the Broncos the game. And I'm getting tired, like you and every other Bronco fan, of every week there seeming to be one or two of these things that end up beating this team, which has been in every bloody game this year. And to sit here with 3 wins as we come after Thanksgiving is a travesty. I don't know what's going to come next. The defense has hung up, has held in as admirably as it can. This offense is broken. The fear is that maybe Russ has passed his sell-by date. He's not making plays on the move. And when we watched the Chiefs against the Chargers last Sunday night, we saw Patrick Mahomes making plays on the move and Herbert. And the first thing I thought was, God, Russ used to do that sort of stuff. And yeah. I just haven't seen enough of it this year. And I don't know if it's him or it's the design of the offense, but something's got to be fixed. I think it's too late to fix it this year, but they better. And if Nathaniel Hackett wants to stick around more than a year, one, he better, better effort here the last 7 weeks of this season. But if he's around next season, if he doesn't get this offense fixed, he won't be there in 2024. So that's the assignment for him. Let's see if he can do it.
I'd be surprised if he's there in 2023. I think he's over his head. I predicted last week the Raiders would win that game, and that the only coach that Josh McDaniels can beat is Coach Hugs, Nathaniel Hackett, and that pick turned out for me to do well. But it is sad. I don't hear anything. Maybe you hear something, but the new ownership didn't hire George Payton and didn't hire Coach Hugs. And certainly they signed off on what looks like a albatross around the neck of the team, not waiting to sign a long-term deal of $250 million for Russell Wilson. Who do these guys listen to? They're out of Arkansas. Are they Jerry Jones? Are they favorites? Hopefully Jason Garrett's not coming here, but, as a head coach. But my question is, who are these guys going to listen to? Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones, where are their connections? Is it brother-in-law, Kroenke, who owns the Rams and won a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, there's Walmart connections everywhere, so I'm not sure where they would go. But my thought is this, is that there will be some sort of inquisition made about Sean Payton, who at one point it was with Dallas long ago, and before he went to the Saints, where he'd been for a long time. But if there's any chance he wants to come out of retirement, which I think he will from what I'm hearing. Now, will it be Denver or somewhere else, or will it be back at Dallas if they fall short with McCarthy seems to be solidifying himself? That might be it, but you're very right. I mean, the Rob Walton and his cohorts there did not. I mean, Payton was there on the job. They made the hire for Hackett before he came in, the Wilson trade too. So I think you might be right. I think there's a 50-50 chance Hackett does not come back next year, and they just completely clean house. They have got the money to buy these guys off. That's one thing you know about the Walton bunch. So I'd say there's a 50, everything's on the line for Hackett and Payton. these last 7 weeks of the season, or else I think you might be right. There could be changes in the offseason.
All right, and I think Bronco fans are desperate for that. Bruce Marshall, Gold Sheet, read him, read his picks, subscribe. It is the long-running great publication, starting with the NFL way back in the 50s, and Bruce carrying on the tradition there. Thank you, Bruce.
Okay, Michael, thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving. All right, when we come back, college football season climaxes, but college basketball feast week is an early season crescendo for college basketball. The ups and downs, all those ranked matchups. What does college basketball season look like, including my Final Four that I predicted in our college basketball show last week? We talk about that with Sean Keeler of the Denver Post next.